Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, why the reading of this somewhat mysterious historical narrative from the book of Esther during the Easter season? Especially since God and the Messiah are not mentioned. In fact, neither God nor the Messiah are mentioned throughout the entire book of Esther. So why have any reading from Esther during any time of the church year? Despite such a striking omission, our text and the entire book of Esther present important truths about Yahweh, the covenant God of Israel, the one true God. These truths are brought out by other portions of Scripture, but it is the genius of the book of Esther to do so by not mentioning Yahweh. In teaching about Yahweh, Esther has an underlying messianic message. For doctrine concerning Yahweh involves doctrine concerning the Messiah, the Savior promised by Yahweh. First, the book of Esther, not mentioning God, teaches us that God does not always operate in an obvious, dramatic way. Sometimes he works in a hidden manner, hidden to human eyes. But God is continually in the background and behind the scenes, always at work. The book of Esther relates crucial decisions, decrees, and events. Ahasuerus, better known as Xerxes I, reigned over the vast Persian Empire, which stretched from India to Ethiopia. He reigned from 486 to 465 BC. One of his officials, Haman, developed a hatred for a Jew named Mordecai. Planning to kill Mordecai, Haman decides to annihilate all the Jews in Xerxes' empire. This would pretty much bring to an end the Jewish nation. Haman has Xerxes issue a decree giving orders, to quote from chapter 3, to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day, and to plunder their goods. Once issued, a decree by a Persian king could not be revoked. Xerxes, however, does not know that his queen, Esther, is a Jew. Does God know what is going on? Of course he does. Will he act to save his covenant people? Yes. The deliverance wrought in its effect and result would be as great as at the sea in the time of Moses and the Exodus. But at the sea, God spoke directly to Moses and acted in a dramatic, unmistakable manner. In Esther, God does not manifest clearly, explicitly his omnipotence. Rather, he works in ways hidden to human eyes. To make that point, the author does not mention God. Consider the ministry of the prophet Elijah. God sent fire from heaven, which consumed Elijah's sacrifice and altar on Mount Carmel. God acted then in an obvious way. Later, though, on Mount Sinai, God manifested himself to Elijah, not in a great strong wind, nor in an earthquake, nor in a fire, but in a low whisper. God led his prophet to understand that he usually acts in quiet, non-spectacular fashion. In our work in the church, we sometimes wish that God would rend the heavens and come down and display his magnificent splendor, majesty openly in the sight of all the earth. That will happen on the last day, Judgment Day. That sometimes happened in God's kingdom of power. In his kingdom of grace, however, God almost entirely operates in a way hidden to human sight. Further, he does not work directly, but through means, through his word, water, bread, and wine. Nevertheless, he is acting with his omnipotence, carrying out mighty deeds, working miracles, accomplishing the deliverance of countless people. Second, the book of Esther, not mentioning God, teaches us that God does not always act alone, but uses people, ordinary people, to accomplish his will. Esther and her relative Mordecai were ordinary people, lowly Jews, living in Susa, the winter capital of the Persian kings. They were far from Judah, the promised land. Yet Esther, advised and encouraged by Mordecai, ends up delivering her people, the Jews, from utter destruction. She thwarts the evil Haman so that Xerxes has Haman hung on the gallows that Haman had built for Mordecai. Further, as our text indicates, Esther has Xerxes issue a counter decree so that the Jews could defend themselves and destroy any who might attack them. Thus, the ESV has as the heading for chapter 8, Esther saves the Jews. True enough. Actually, though, Esther was the instrument of God to bring about the deliverance. This is how God operates today. We are ordinary people whom God has used and will use to accomplish the extraordinary. People will see us at work, but really it is God who is working through us in our ministry of word and sacrament. So all honor and glory go to God. Apart from God, we could do no good work. Apart from God in our original state, we were spiritually blind, enemies of God, helpless in our sins, headed for hell. But God, through the means of grace, brought us to and preserves us in faith in Christ. United with Christ in faith, we not only have the forgiveness of our sins and everlasting life, but the power to live as God's children, to live for him and in obedience to him. God has made us, ordinary people, by nature lost and condemned, into those who serve him. He has called us to convey the gospel to others, and in that way to be his tools to accomplish the everlasting deliverance of many people. By not mentioning God, the book of Esther emphasizes the human aspect of God's plans and purposes being carried out. Again, however, the credit and praise go to God. We, as the apostles, bring the word, mainly the gospel, to the world. Yet we, as the apostle Paul writes, are merely vessels utilized by God, clay jars. To quote the apostle, "We have this treasure, the gospel, in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Third, the narrative in Esther seemingly has a series of coincidences. In reality, with God always at work behind the scenes and using people to accomplish his will, there are no coincidences. An underlying message of Esther is that God directs events, but by not mentioning God, the book teaches us that his total control is not at all times clear and evident to human eyes. It was no coincidence that Esther and her relative Mordecai were in Susa, and that Esther had great beauty. Not by chance did Esther become the queen of Xerxes, so that she could use her position and her relation to the king to expose Haman as the enemy of her people, and to get Xerxes to issue the counter decree, which led to the preservation of the Jews from annihilation. Despite the fact that the mighty Persian ruler had issued an irrevocable decree which would have ended the Jewish nation, Yahweh delivered and preserved his covenant people. He guided events to achieve that purpose, though he exercised his total control in a way not obvious to people. Yahweh governed in a hidden but effective manner in order that his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be fulfilled, that the Messiah, the deliverer foretold to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, would come, descending from them, the patriarchs. Eventually, the second person of the Trinity, at just the right point in history, according to God's timing, became incarnate. He was born of the Jewish nation. He took on human flesh, Israelite flesh. He did this so that he could be the substitute for all people, the savior of the world. The Son of God became man in order that he might live a perfect life in the stead of everyone else, bear in his body on the tree the world's transgressions, pay completely for that mass of sin with his suffering and death, and rise from the dead as victorious Savior. Jesus now gives us his body and blood in his supper. Today we look at the world around us and see the collapse of morality in this nation, the growing power of foreign countries hostile to the United States, the increase in the number of terrorist cells and their activity, the persecution of Christians in different countries, and wonder, where is God in all of this? The book of Esther reminds us that God is indeed present, and though his rule might appear hidden, God at all times has total control and directs world history for the good of his church. He directs your individual life as is most beneficial for you. We see then that it is appropriate to have a reading from Esther during the Easter season and at any time during the church year. No mention of God throughout the book, no problem. That is the unique way in which Esther brings to us comfort, reassurance, and encouragement. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.